hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dinan Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It is a Tuesday. It is week one of the NFL season, the 2025-2026 NFL season. It's Tuesday at 7, which means it's Dinan Hughes time. Get in the news with Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan, sponsored by Yuengling and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beers. No way to get light about it, Dinan. It starts to get heavy this week as Sao Paulo, Brazil. You ready for the trip? You ready for week one to see these guys start going after it?
Well, man, let me just tell you, we got to be quiet because, you know, the Chargers, we're supposed to be a little scared of them because, you know, Jim Harbaugh is there. So maybe we should talk lightly, guys, and you know, just be really, really careful because the Chargers are supposed to win the AFC West again. Oh, my goodness.
Every team is supposed to win the West but us, Dinan.
I didn't know Dinan was in the Lycans library, but man, I love that you got your library card this year for the Lycans library. Dinan, I think that's great. That's how you start this interview off because man, it seems like this offseason it was, have the Chiefs, you know, finally fell out of their dynasty reign. Is Denver going to do it again? They got the best defense in the league. They have a second year quarterback and a Super Bowl winning coach. Then there's that weirdo in Los Angeles with Jim Harbaugh with quotes that I don't know anything that he ever says. It's just like what Mahomes said up in Adams on Kay Adams' show. Let's just play football.
Yeah. I mean, when it's all said and done, you got to lace them up and you got to line up between the lines. And then you can show who's the best team, who's the more physical team, who's the more talented team. And then in our case, who's the team that just knows how to win. And I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday is having a team and people will scrutinize us from last year. They watch the Kingdom. They see the games. They talk about the refs and blah, blah, blah. But we figure out ways to win when teams figure out ways to lose. And that is the epitome of a championship team that has shown itself to be a championship way of living for us, a way of life for us. And I think that's a badge that we can kind of, you know, we can poke out our chest. We can feel good about ourselves. And because I played on teams that knew how to win during the regular season, but didn't know how to win in the postseason. And the depth of disparity that comes with that when you have a team, and that's what the Chargers have been. Let's face it. They have been a team that you can look at their roster. You can look at their numbers with Jim Harbaugh, before Jim Harbaugh, and you say, you know what, this team is very talented. They can get things done, but they just didn't know how to win those important games. Now we're going to clash in Brazil, and with the record of Andy Reid in September, the record of Patrick Mahomes and these guys together in September, like I like our chances. They're going over there for business. It's not a vacation. It's not a, you know, some kind of trip that you know, we're going to be sightseeing or doing anything like that. They're going over there for business, and I like our chances. I don't think it's a time where you can ever bet against the Chiefs or feel good about betting against the Chiefs in the early part of the season.
Yeah, Dane, and I'm glad you kind of bring all that up about knowing how to win, because there's this stat that's been floating around last year, like the Chiefs are like 10-0 in one score games or something like mm-hmm. that. You look around the NFL, most games are one score games in this league. I mean, that's how close the NFL is. So I don't necessarily buy into that stat per se, but what I do buy into is knowing how to win when it's late. And I think all the stuff that people said last year about the luck and all that really discredits what these guys put in and the extra effort that they put in to find ways to win these football games. It's not luck that they're winning these games.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely not. And here's the thing, is I think the fans, and I love them, and there's a lot of knowledgeable fans out there, but then there's a lot of people with aggressive thumbs on X, and they, you know, get on social media and they downgrade the accomplishments of this team and making excuses like that, too many close games, etc. That's what the NFL is built for. That's what's made it you know, the top of the top of the heap in regards to all professional sports now. It used to be America's pastime was baseball, and NFL has become a 365-day business. And when you watch these guys on the field, what's made it so good is the parity. It's the parity in regards to how good other teams are, the draft, the way it's set up, free agency, the way it's set up. And these teams, especially in the AFC West, have been trying and trying and trying to figure out ways to dethrone the Chiefs.
Yep.
And they just haven't been able to do it. I mean, we're going to be embarking upon our hopefully 10th straight AFC West championship. It starts this week, this Friday against the Chargers, but to discredit these guys and their accomplishments, or to just try to find some little chink in the armor where you can say, you know what, too many close games. Well, okay, I'll take that any day of the week. And I think, you know, if we start to see this team blow teams out, I kind of feel like that I might be a little concerned about that, because that could be setting us up for something else later in the season. But winning a game, like you guys have always heard me say, I'll take a win. If we win 3-2 in Brazil, I'm cool.
You're cool. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you. That's the way I look at it. The only numbers I look at are the final ones, who had more points than the other team. And that's ultimately what matters. And that's why we sit here with the best team and best organization right now in the NFL. How do you think they survived? I hate saying survive, because they survived a whole season without Rashee Rice. But what do you think for the first six games of the year without him?
Definitely a blow, because I feel like this was going to be one of those prove-it years for Rashee, and if he would have had the opportunity where the NFL and the legal system would have been delayed, where there wouldn't have been the suspension this year, I think he would have played with a chip on his shoulder, and it would have been a very, very unique situation, a very fun situation in regards to the wide receivers with he and Xavier Worthy. I think that would have been fun to watch, but I feel like without him, what did we do last year? After he got hurt against these same Chargers, what did we do last year? Who emerged as guys that made plays? You think about how debilitated this offense was without he, Hollywood Brown, and Isaiah Pacheco for a portion of the year, and yet we hit the ground and kept running. So I don't feel like when you talk about the offense, like if we were talking about Nick Bolton or Chris Jones being out, yeah, there might be some concern defensively. But when you talk about the offense, and like I call Andy Reid the mad scientist of offense, because he figures out ways, whether you're a rookie, second year guy, undrafted guy, what have you, he figures out ways to put you in situations to be successful and for the team to be successful with you on the field. So yeah, it's definitely a blow not to have Rashee. But to know now that we will have him after the six-game suspension, I feel like that should be an encouragement in itself.
Danny, I'm glad you bring up, year two and all this sort of stuff. As being a former receiver in the league, I know that year two, you know, your workload gets added to it. You know, year one, survive, mm-hmm. make yourself known, be on the roster, come back the next year and really make yourself known. Xavier Worthy is that guy this year for me. I am not comparing him to Tyreek Hill. I hope everyone knows that. But we saw the jump that Tyreek Hill made with that speed, with that arm of Patrick Mahomes mm-hmm. in his second year in the league. Can we see a little bit of that with Xavier Worthy, like crispier routes, more field awareness, and more trust with Mahomes, to where that number kind of excels? Everybody goes, oh, crap, they got another one.
I think so. I think it only makes sense that your second year in this offense, and first, let's give him credit mm-hmm. for being a rookie and coming into this system. Think about how the year started last year, the training camps. We all know how tough Andy Reid's training camps are. And you're a rookie receiver that's coming in, first-round pick, and they throw the entire book at Xavier Worthy. And he soaks it up like a sponge, where you didn't see any kind of hiccup on the field last year. You never saw him out of position or Patrick Mahomes getting frustrated because he was supposed to line up on the left side, he lined up on the right side, or he didn't go in motion, or any of the things that would happen with normal rookies because they're just trying to get acclimated to the offense. No, he soaked everything up. Showed how smart he was, showed how cerebral he was on the field. So it only makes sense to think, you know what, the second year, like, buckle up, watch out, because this kid, you've had he be able to soak up all the successes last year, 9 touchdowns from scrimmage, and have the success that the team had. He's been able to taste that. And now you give them a whole offseason to take all of that information, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, the entire offensive staff, and say, you know what? We kind of think this Rashee Rice thing is going to hit ahead and he's going to be suspended. We don't know how much, but we got this whole offseason to construct things to expose defenses to Xavier Worthy, whether it's jet sweeps, shovel passes. I think he works better in the slot, outside the numbers, just lining up outside the numbers like your conventional wide receiver. I don't think that plays to his strength. But moving him around inside, kind of like Tyreek, I think is going to bode well for this offense. But like, it only makes sense that this year, now that he's got a season under his belt and had the success that he had, like, I think the confidence is going to be out the roof.
What do you think about Kelce this year? Because I think he's going to dominate and go out, you know, just on cloud nine. What do you think?
I think so, too. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder as well. I know we don't want to talk about, I know they have not talked about the Super Bowl since that Super Bowl, but like, being a player in that locker room, I remember Jim Harbaugh leading the Colts against us back in 95 and bursting out bubble and feeling and having that feeling throughout the offseason, not being able to wait, chomping at the bit to wait for the next season to start. And then the next time we get to see the Colts again. So, I think when you are Travis Kelce, you've had the successes you've had, but you also have that burning desire to go out on a high note, and that did not happen last year to the tune of it being an embarrassment. And I feel like when you're that old and you're recognizing you got more days behind you than ahead of you, you want to go out on your terms and you want to be able to showcase to the world that you're the best tight end that ever lived. And he has all that incentive in him, and I look forward to seeing how that's going to show itself on the field. And I think Patrick Mahomes has some incentive as well, to not saying that he's just going to be looking at Travis just for the sake of this might be Travis's last ride, but that's his security blanket. That's always been his security blanket. And to think that he's going to go out there and orchestrate 12 and 14 play drives and not look 87's way a few times would be ridiculous. So I think both of those guys have something to prove. And by all accounts, when you watch Travis in practice, you see how slim he is. You see how in shape he is. You see how fiery he is. I think other teams better beware.
Danon, have a safe flight to Sao Paulo. We'll be listening. I know you'll be on 96.5 The Fan on Friday night, 7 o'clock, start of the kickoff there. Have a safe flight, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, buddy.
Make sure, man. Those Chargers, you know, we gotta be scared. So, you know, talk a little lightly until the game, all right, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Danon.
Kick their ass 35-0. Let's go.
Yes, go. Let's do it.